What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 111, and this episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, that helps us out and helps the podcast keep on going. With me this Sunday evening, as always, is Derek. What's up, Derek?
Not much. How you doing, Bob?
Pretty good. Derek is busy all day closing his pool.
Yeah.
So that's like the official end of summer, huh?
Yeah, that's the very end.
Yeah.
Even though it was a nice day, you actually could have gone swimming today, but I guess that just makes it a little easier to work, not so nasty, but yep.
Yeah.
A little disappointing, but...
So this is well, you had half a summer with the pool,
yeah,
I would say?
Yeah, so, yeah, not real long.
Yeah, but still, like, first summer with the pool, did you enjoy it?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, nothing negative to say, really. I mean, it's a little bit of work, but definitely enjoyable.
So. Yeah, I think, you know, if you have your own pool, just if you're stressed out, just go out in the backyard, maybe just soak in the pool a little bit and just kind of relax, you know?
Yeah, it's nice. And, you know, there's always when you don't have a pool, it's always like, man, I wish I had a pool.
So. Exactly. So, all right, well, let's stop talking about pools and start talking about tech.
Get into tech, yeah.
Yes. So we had two really cool reviews this week. We'll start out first with Zotac's 10-year anniversary Sonix 480-gigabyte PC Express solid-state drive. That's such a long product. but this is basically an updated version of their original Sonix PC Express solid-state drive. So this is the Phison E7-based, I believe, PC Express SSD. So that's like every SSD that's come out, for the most part, in this price range, is being powered by this controller, almost all of them. And what Zotac has done to celebrate their 10th anniversary is they upgraded the firmware for faster speeds, which is always good. And they added a black shroud, and of course, they added RGB lighting. Who can't complain about that, right?
Yeah.
So it just makes it a different product and a cool product. But it is a very fast drive. Sequential read and writes are 2800 megabytes a second and 1500 megabytes a second, which is great. You know, that's about four times the speed of a solid state drive, a normal, you know, SATA based solid state drive. So you're getting a lot of speed there.
And then right on par with PC Express drives.
Yeah, and this is a true PCI Express drive. So this is an actual add-on card, and it's not an M.2 on an add-on card. It is a true docking station. Which is good because it makes it more compatible with other systems, you know, older systems that may not have an M.2. And I have to say, the RGB lighting just makes it all the better. And I believe this is the only solid-state drive that has RGBs built into it. I'm almost positive.
Nice.
I'm
sure it won't be long before we see more now.
Yeah. But I just think that it's pretty cool. And, you know, all the drives based on this Phison controller are great. You know, they pretty much all perform the same or around the same. Obviously firmware makes things a little bit better, a little bit worse. But it's just a great drive. And, you know, it looks really good too. It has a black shroud on it. It's going to look good in your system. And like I keep on mentioning the RGBs, but it's going to look good with the RGBs in there as well.
It's got a nice big heat spreader under the cover.
Yeah, it has a... So a lot of these, some of them don't have big heat spreaders, especially the M.2s, the M.2 PC Express ones. And we've known of heat issues, especially with the Samsung ones, you know. And even other drives, they've come out with second editions that have coolers on them now, just for the fact they get really hot. So you don't run into that issue either with this, which is nice.
Yep.
And it's just, like I said, it's just a good drive. The prices on anything NAND. We talked about this. We warned you guys that NAND prices are going to go up. It's $339 for the 480 gig, which isn't horrible, but it's a little high for right now, I would say.
Yeah.
It's
still below that dollar per gig that we were like. I mean, well, a year ago or maybe 2 years ago, we were like, "Oh, come on, let's get to a dollar per gig."
Yeah, so This is below a dollar a gig on PCX, you know, a PCI Express NVMe drive, you know. So it is good. I still think prices are a little bit high for anything NAND based right now. Yeah,
it's just not like a good time to buy.
Yeah, if you look at even like DDR4, prices are really high. So
I do have one complaint clicking through the photos. Why'd they choose a black or a blue PCB?
A blue? Is it blue?
Yeah, it's totally blue.
No, I don't know.
Unless in person it's not. All the photos it looks really blue.
No, it is blue. I guess you just don't notice it as much because it is.
Okay.
For most, I mean, most of it is covered, but that little stick, the little part that sticks out, they should have done black.
Yeah,
that is weird. I honestly did not notice it that much, especially because
once you have it installed, I mean,
when you have it installed, there's a full backplate on the card that has a Zotac logo, and there's a slight little cutout that you see a little bit of it, but not enough, I would say. But yeah, it is weird. I don't know.
Slipping just a little bit.
Yeah. But just a great SSD, and if you're going the non M.2 route, this is a great drive to have. And like I said, the only one with RGB lighting that I know of. I don't know if there's any others out there. But when I did this review last week, I looked and I couldn't find any other ones. So very, very cool. And we'll be including this in our RGB build, which hopefully will get started this upcoming week. So
nice.
Pretty excited to get all that going as well. And the next product is a really good product, and it is Intel's Core i7 7820X, and that's their 8-core processor, Skylake X processor. And this, is part of the new Core X series. It is, I believe it's one step below. Yeah, it's one step below the Core i9 7900X. And it's just it's kind of like, for me, it's the entry level into the true high-end desktop.
What would have been the entry level part?
Yeah, what would have been the entry level. Just going through it really quickly, again, 8 cores, 16 threads, 3.6 gigahertz base, 4.3 gigahertz into turbo boost, and then with a turbo boost 3.0, 2 cores will go to 4.5. So it's a really good chip. And when it comes to these processors, the biggest thing is, I guess they call it the entry level into the Core X series is the i5-7640X at $242, which isn't...
It's not a proper high-end desktop part.
Yeah. So this, a lot of people are saying that the part to get for is right in the middle at the i9-7900X, but that's $1,000. And a lot of people don't want to spend that just on a processor.
No.
So this is $600. So it's a $400 difference. Obviously, you're going from 10 cores down to 8 cores. And the big thing, the big thing here is that you only get 28 PCI Express lights. That's the letdown of this chip. All of the other chips, the 7900X, all going up to the 7980XE, they all have 44 PCI Express lanes. So that means, multiple graphics card setups, multiple M.2s, multiple USB 3.1. Like, you have all of that bandwidth. With this, you don't.
Kind of makes me feel like it's overpriced.
I wouldn't say it's overpriced for an Intel part. I mean, again...
But it's not that the entry level part. It didn't used to gimp you on the PCI Express line.
Yeah. Well, yes, they did. The past two generations, the entry level, the whatever, the 20, the was it the 5820K, and then those were all 28 lane PCI Express.
And then the others were 44.
Yes. Yeah, so there was always, when they started doing that, I think it was two generations ago, they started doing that. The entry level part was only realized. Yeah. Yes.
Well, and they managed to maintain the same pricing for it though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They actually the $599, that's up $50 too, because didn't it used to be a $549 part? At this level, the entry level part was right around $550. I want to say.
Let's see here. I'm trying to look up the prices.
Yeah. might be hard to find original pricing at this
point. Yeah, it's hard. So... Yeah, I can't. I wish there was like a
yeah.
Oh, maybe like, it might be like
an original roadmap almost.
Yeah. So the 6820K. This can't be right. Yeah, this is like the current price.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see. Well, I'm just gonna look up. Yeah. I mean, yeah, we don't want to go on this, but
I could have sworn that that's what they were at, but it's easier to with this whole family. It's easier to hide the price, any price changes, because there's so many parts, you know.
But the big thing with this is a big jump up level, especially when it comes to cores. And I mean, in our testing, it did really, really well. All of the Core X minus the quad core parts have done really, really well. I'm pretty much blowing it. Especially when it comes to CPU specific multi core tasks, these processors are solid.
Yeah.
Very, very solid. Like I said, I haven't tested any Threadripper parts, so I can't comment on any performance personally. But at the end of the day, at least in my experience with Ryzen and Intel parts, Intel knows how to make a chip. And I haven't run into the issues that I had on the AMD side. And the performance is just like solid across the board, and you don't need anything weird or, you know, like you don't see crazy different CPU performance with different memory, like things like that. It's just like the Intel parts, they just work.
They're well-rounded parts. They have a lot of years of consistent, you know, build behind them. So.
So that's what you have to think of, you know. And I did point out that AMD did release a Threadripper 1900X, which is an 8-core, 16-thread part. I think it's $549, so it's priced under this. And it gives you 64 PCI Express lanes. But again, I can't comment on performance because I don't have that, you know, a chip here.
Yeah, in theory, it should offer more.
Yeah, but so at least there, just like with Ryzen, there is competition out there. You know, but if you're looking at this part, you're going to be building a decently high-end system, a little bit less on expansion. You could still do 2 graphics cards, you know, but maybe you're somebody who's like a hardcore streamer, but you want one system, maybe one really good graphics card, and then you need that CPU, you need those multiple cores to do your streaming or something like that. Or you're just like sort of like not an entry-level video editor, but somebody who needs all of those cores to do game creation or something like that, but you're not a big studio buying the 18-core part or whatever it may be. You're on a budget. This is a great entry.
Indie studios, stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff like that, where you have $1,500 to go on a system. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, this is a great entry into all of that. The only thing really missing from this is the additional PCI Express lanes. And depending on what you're doing, you may not need those anyways.
Yeah. Always nice to have them, though.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, you never know. But yeah, it overclocked well. Again, getting higher core parts, all of the cores up at a certain level, is difficult, but I was able to do pretty well. The thing that held me back was temperature with these parts, which we'll talk about as a story here, that there's thermal paste between the actual chip and the heat spreader. It's not soldered. Solder would provide better heat transfer. So
yeah.
But like I said, it's a good chip. I think that it's a solid entry into the Core X series, the one that I feel most people should take, given most people's budgets, as well as what this chip does offer. It's a good part.
Yeah.
It's
still tough. It's really tough because you do want those lanes, but it's such a jump between this and the next part. $400.
Yeah, $400 jump. Difference. That's like I said, that's where AMD with Threadripper, I believe all of their Threadripper parts are 64. You get the full 64.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of things you can do. And like I said, I can't comment on performance and usability of the X399 chipset because I haven't used it. You know, but it's a, like I said,
on paper,
as far as this goes, this is a really good part, and you know, it's like I said, it's my recommendation for entry into the Core X series for most people. So
gotcha.
So yeah. So we will move on to Case Mod Friday, and this week we have a really awesome build inside the InWin D-Frame 2.0. It's from Malik Customs, and he just calls it D-Frame 2.0, and it's just a really nice water-cooled build inside of that case. All, pretty much all EK parts as far as water cooling goes. Really nice color. He kind of matched the case because the case already has sort of like gold, black and gold almost, and black and yellow.
Yeah.
And he just kind of matched that with his water cooling. I really like the color of his coolant as well. And it's just a solid build in my opinion.
Yeah, it's a good looking build. Tough to do clean things on these and interesting things on these cases as well, actually, on these D-frames, yeah, because it's so exposed.
Yeah, everything is.
It's just the tube chassis, so it's a nice clean build.
Yeah, I like it. I don't think he did a whole lot of modding either, not that I know of. You know, obviously, like the custom hard tubing and some of the logos and things like that, and that looks like a custom what's it called, SLI bridge, but besides that, not a whole lot. Custom sleeving, you know, all that kind of normal stuff. But this is a cool build. I like it. Really just clean. I think that's the word that best describes this for me, is clean.
Yeah. I see what he did. He just did the two fans on the radiator, but he put his logo in between.
I thought that was different. But yeah, I think it's primarily all EK parts as far as water cooling goes. So
it's a nice one.
Yeah, just a nice simple build. It's funny because it's not a whole lot to talk about.
No.
You know, because it's just so simple and it's not a whole lot of modding in this. But again, you can create a really nice clean build and not do a heck of a lot of modding either, really.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, those are the ones that are more attainable for most people.
Yeah.
You don't need a Dremel. You don't need.
Yeah. I've used a Dremel before, and I'm very scared of using a Dremel. And like, especially like these cases, like, you know, if I'm like modding like a really expensive case, like I don't want to break it.
Yeah.
Or mess it up. Yeah. So. Yep. So yeah. But definitely check out this build. And as I always say, we have a full section with a ton of builds inside. So if you want some inspiration, you can go in there and kind of check everything out. We will move on to news. And one really cool thing this week is that Gigabyte introduced the world's smallest GTX 1080. And this thing's tiny. I saw Zotac's GTX 1080 Mini at CES, and it was small. But it wasn't like mini. Like I don't know if you remember. Like, I forget. Asus first came out with it. It was like a 960 or maybe even.
Yeah,
like
it was a 60.
Yeah, it was like a 960 that was tiny, super tiny.
Looked just like this, actually.
Yeah, this is pretty much the exact same size. It's only 169 millimeters long. It's super, super small. So this is gonna fit in any mini ITX case that offers two PCI Express slots. It's going to fit in any of those.
Definitely will.
Super, super tiny. It does have reference speeds, but there is a software-enabled OC mode that brings the clocks up just a little bit. Single 8-pin PCI Express, single fan cooler. This is just like, if you want to build a super small gaming rig or something, this is a great card to get. I can't imagine it getting super hot just for the fact that it's running at its stock speeds. The cooler doesn't look all that robust either.
You just don't have enough space for fins or anything to do a whole lot of cooling.
Yeah, but I think it's cool. I think it's this cool little card, and I think this will just make building small systems even easier. Even like I said, that Zotac one was small, but this one's even smaller. So
yeah, I want to see a water block for it. That'll be nice.
That would be cool.
I'm guessing EK will probably do something.
Yeah, especially now that, you know, they've done this with this small size. I can't imagine. I mean, I can imagine Asus coming out with one too, right?
Miniature version?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, so
they
could
make it. It'd
be
nice if they did it to the same specification so that...
Yeah, so you could have one block. Yeah.
One block design, yeah.
Yeah, so pretty cool. And the fan does turn off when the card's idle too, so it's pretty cool.
I wonder if it ever does, though.
It might. You never know.
Yeah. It's a lot of heat concentrated in one area.
Yeah, especially if you're rocking a really small build where you don't have a lot of airflow. Yeah. You could run into that, yeah. But also
what is the reference 1080 come? What, is it an 8 pin or is it 8 pin and 6 pin? I think it's 8 and 6.
I have one here. I can't. It's like I don't have my lights on, so I can't see inside the case.
I'll just look it up.
It might be an 8 pin. I think it's an 8 pin. Or at least I know the 1070 is an 8 pin. I know that
single 8 pin.
Yeah.
I would think.
I'll find it.
Looks like it's just a single. No, that is not the right card.
What are you looking at? The internet's failing us today. We can't find prices. Maybe. We can't.
Maybe we're just not.
It's well. The thing is, all these, one. All the like default
yeah,
photos of the.
Six pin.
It's an 8+6.
Yeah. Oh no.
Okay.
What? Come on.
My guess is it's
like
a sync.
There might be a couple versions.
Yeah. The 1080 Ti
okay. No,
is an 8+6.
It's just an 8 pin, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Why is the internet struggling so hard?
Yeah, we're just having a bad day. It's the hurricanes.
Weather's
yeah.
got the servers
yes.
screwed up.
Right,
so it is full powered then. I was thinking they had dropped the power down on it.
Yeah, no, it's full power. So yeah, it's a cool little car. It would be really fun to build like a super compact, like small little cube thing with that.
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Yeah. But also talking about graphics cards, we've been talking about Vega a lot and some things. Yeah, but we've had two stories that come out this week about Vega as it pertains to mining, cryptocurrency mining, especially Ethereum mining. Yeah, for most people this is boring, but if you are into this, we'll talk about it just very quickly.
I know, it's just it's the rage is gone, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, the miners are the reason why you can't get these cards. I don't know about the pricing. We haven't figured out who's to blame for that yet.
Optimistic pricing.
Yes, so one user on Reddit was able to achieve 33. I don't even know what MH stands for when it comes to mining. Like mining hash, micro hash, something hash. I believe.
I don't know.
Anyways, 43 MH. A second in or I don't even know that's second on it. But is that a session? I don't even know what that means. 43 MHS in Ethereum with 130 watts of power, which is really good for the fact that
it's millions of hashes per second.
Okay, 43 millions of hashes per second. That's really, really good for the fact that a RX 580 would only do around 30, and that's about 43% better with a small increase of about 13% in power consumption. So that's really good.
Yeah.
So if you can tweak, now there's a lot of tweaking that goes into it, and we go into it in the article, and we link to the whole Reddit post so you can read up on it. But you have to set the power level like super low and do all this kind of stuff.
And hope your card can handle that.
Yeah, in doing all that. But it is possible. The second story comes from Anthony at Tweaktown, one of my good friends. And he's been super into mining since, you know.
Yeah.
And
all of his GPU laying around and all.
Yeah, he has a garage of GPUs, and he's been doing a lot of mining and actually reporting on it in like...
Yeah, no.
Yeah, like...
Good articles, actually.
Yeah, he's put out some really great articles on mining when it comes to different graphics cards, different setups, like even different mining programs. Like he's like an authority on this for normal people, I would say.
Yeah.
So he's done a lot. So he has a Radeon RX Vega 64 liquid cooled edition. And doing some different tests, he was able to kind of show that it is more efficient than a Titan XP at mining, which is pretty impressive considering the liquid cold edition is $6.99 and the Titan XP is $11.99 or no, $5.99 and $11.99. So yeah, so the well, if you
isn't
you
that
could...
kind of like known though. I mean, AMD has always been better at mining, right?
Yeah, I think this was just to kind of show
like how big the difference is.
Yeah, how big the difference is. Okay. You know, so that's pretty that's pretty impressive for Vega, but for us, for like the gamers, we don't care about this. And the thing is this whole thing is ruining the GPU industry when it comes to gamers, because it's so hard to get cards on both sides, NVIDIA and AMD. We talked about it last week with the pricing. The pricing still has not been fixed. And if you are an AMD fan and you want to check out this new technology, you're not going to get it at the MSRP, which is sad. And again,
or if you're just a gamer that just wants a card, like
or
if you're just trying to like right now, I think the person that's going to get hurt the worst is the friend that you're trying to get into PC gaming. Like,
yeah,
hey man,
yeah,
you should build a computer. Oh, except for you can't. You know, without like blowing tons of money on it, like, and that makes it even less accessible. You know, at this point.
Oh yeah, that's. Yeah, it's the way the industry is right now, it's really sad what's going on. I get it. I get the third party eBay and forum selling and things like that to make some money. That's normal. And that happens with anything, as we talked about. But this whole retail thing is it's really bothersome, because like you said, if I want to get my friend into PC gaming or build, you know, my cousin or my sister or brother or whoever a system, they're going to be like, why is it so expensive? I'm just going to buy a console. And we don't want anybody to do that.
I mean, we're already convincing people to spend like three times as much.
Yeah.
To just to get a, you know, just for your tower. And then you still need everything else, you know?
Yeah. So, but yeah, so, you know, while these Vega cards at least seem to be, especially with driver updates and things, seem to be getting better at mining, that isn't obviously helping us gamers. So it's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we'll move on to processor stuff, which is a little bit better news. Big news this week is that Coffee Lake processors, especially the flagship Core i7-8700K, will likely go on sale October 5th, which is coming up.
About 4 weeks out.
Yeah, so that means all new processors, all new architecture. It's not a new architecture. All new.
Slightly.
Yeah. All new motherboards. I'm excited for the motherboards. We have some of these.
Slammed with new motherboards.
Yeah, so they're going to get all new motherboards. This is going to be Intel's reaction to Ryzen. So, you know, Intel, while they had all the Z270 or the Kaby Lake parts. I can't think of this. They had the Kaby Lake parts, which still performed well against Ryzen. This is truly Intel's reaction. We're going to get higher core counts. We're going to get more features. We're going to get more features in the chipset. This is going to be the true reaction and see what Intel is going to do for gamers and just for enthusiasts and all that.
And truthfully, we're getting the enthusiast grade, the gamer grade part that we kind of should have had for years.
Correct.
Because what was it, 10 years ago when a quad core first came out? Maybe more?
I don't remember, but it's been a while.
We have not seen a core increase from Intel until now.
Yeah, so just to give you guys the flagship, which will be the 8700K, obviously, which will effectively replace the 7700K, will be a 6-core, 12-thread processor. So you're going to get nice little core increase, as well as some other, you know, cool new features. And it should be October 5th. This is based on an inventory inquiry in some type of software for... retail software.
Retail system.
Yeah. So, it looks like a lot of these chips are available for pre-order already. There's a bunch of them in different multiple sites that where you can see where these are, and they're all there. The 8700K, 8700, 8600K, 8400, 8350K, and 8100 are all available for pre-order.
Nice.
So yeah.
Are you interested in this part? Do you think?
Here's a couple parts that I like. First of all, the flagship, the 8700K. Yeah. If we have better performance, which we will get the bump, I believe we will get the bump. I didn't look at if we even have. Yeah. So you're gonna get a bump in speed. And everything like that. Uh-huh. So you're going to get better performance than the 7700K. You're going to get better motherboards that have more, supposedly more downstream PCI Express lanes as well. So you're going to have more M.2s, like more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
More features on your motherboard. So if you are somebody building a new system,
more bandwidth available too.
Yeah. Here's what I think is going to happen though. So those low end Core X series parts are going to be like,
no, they're obsolete already.
Yeah, they're going to be obsolete with the launch of that part.
Four weeks from now, they're obsolete.
And I feel that not a lot of people are even buying those parts.
No,
because if you're a gamer, you know, with those parts, you're only getting 16 PCI Express lanes. Anyways, what's the point of going high end desktop? You know what I mean?
Those parts were somebody at Intel insisting that they match with Ryzen parts.
Yeah. So, like I said, this will be the true. Their response. And the other part that I want to talk about really quick is the 8350K,
yeah,
which will replace the 7350K, which I did review, which is an awesome little Core i3 part. This will be a four-core, four-thread part, so no hyper-threading, but four cores running at 4 gigahertz, highly overclockable, just a nice little part. To do, you know, low-end gaming system, you know, even just a cool, just a normal, like,
just your daily driver, right?
Yeah, like, this could be a great system. So that's going to be a cool part as well. So of all that.
And that part kind of is the part that's going to probably be begging for some LN2 overclocking. Maybe look for a 7 gigahertz overclock on that guy. Maybe.
That seems really high for that part.
I don't know.
You're at least, I would think you could get up to 5.
Oh,
you could get up
easy.
5 on air, yeah. I could say. So yeah. It's going to be a nice little, it's going to be a good lineup. You have i3 through i7. Gonna be cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
I think that that 8700K is gonna be a.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's gonna be a part to get, and it's gonna be one that lasts for a while as one of the good parts to own.
Yeah, just like the 7700K and the 6700K behind it.
Yeah.
Those were all good parts. Yeah. Based on our testing, we've been testing the Core X series. Like the 7700K, when it comes to gaming, still is the best part.
Right.
So this is, like I said, this next month, if they are launching next month, it is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So talking about a 300 series chipset, one interesting thing came out in their a leaked roadmap is that, you know, with the with the 300 series chipset, the enthusiast chips will be Z370, which will of course replace Z270, but then there's this Z390, which
is an interesting new thing,
because you know the 90, like, you know, we have X99, X299. Mm-hmm. Z is not part of the X series, right? So what is Z390? What is that?
Yeah.
It's
the first time we've seen an extension on that series, isn't it?
Yeah. So is that, you know, it could easily just be a refresh. They'll have
a planned refresh before it's launched, you know.
Well, there's the thing is, if you look at the roadmap here, we have X370, which is launching next month.
Yeah.
And then that will go all the way up into the second half, all the way up to Q2 of 2018, and then in the second half of 2018 we'll see Z390. Don't know what that's going to be. You know what I mean?
Like what do they have planned for it?
Yeah, I don't know. So it could it be just like we? I don't think we've seen like a chipset refresh without a processor launch. You know what I mean?
Right. It's always the talk, right?
Yeah, and if that was the case, it would be Z4 7. Yeah, so it's, what is this? What could it be? We don't know. It's way too early to even know because it's coming this time next year. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. So maybe Intel's doing something, you know?
I guess in a way it makes sense because, you know, obviously the Z370 on Intel's part should be absolutely shipped, right? Like,
yes.
Because the board manufacturers should be working with those chipsets fully and complete.
Oh, the boards are done. We'll.
So, obviously they're working on the next thing already. It's interesting that they already have it planned, but yeah. What can they add is the question.
Yeah, I don't know if there's some type of technology or something that they're working on, whereas, you know,
something we haven't heard of?
Yeah, or like something that they're going to do, you know, there's more so RGBs much that it could be. Yeah, the Z390s are all RGB motherboards. You can't release a motherboard unless it has RGBs on it.
The chipset has RGBs built onto it.
The chipset has the RGB controller built into it. That would be hilarious. But no, I because of the obviously the number increase too, so 370, 390.
Yeah.
Something new has to be added to the chipset, I would think. Don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see. Like I said,
it makes me wonder if like there's something locked on the 370 parts and then this is the unlock, but then everybody's going to figure that out and they're going to have a flash to the firmware or something and
through
the
BIOS. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll have to see. We don't know. Yeah. But it's interesting. It keeps you thinking.
Definitely.
You know.
It's whenever these companies do something like this, it's very interesting because they're usually so stable in the way that they do things.
Yeah.
So
different. We'll have to see what happens. And maybe, you know, in January at CES, we might get a little glimpse of something. Sometimes things are just sitting there.
That would make sense, actually, because it'll be obviously the 370 and the 299 parts will be at CES just because they're, you know,
current,
they just will be current. But, you know, it would be the time where they would show something new.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So our last little piece of, at least I think it's our last little piece of CPU news, is that, I think his name's DeBauer, is that?
Yeah, D-E-R, DeBauer.
Derbauer, who is a famous overclocker, he deleted the i9-7920X, which is the higher core Core i9 parts. And one thing is that on the higher end Core i9 parts, we're not going to get solder, which is sad, but
definitely
typical. And that the dies are bigger. So we have bigger dies on the higher end, the higher core parts.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yes, which totally makes sense. Yeah. Which is something we didn't know because not a lot of people had these parts, but he had one because his delidding tool, that's what, it's compatible with these chips as well.
Yeah, he was checking for that, yeah.
Yeah, so cool to see. You know, I will actually be getting some of these higher end chips in this upcoming week. So,
oh, nice.
I'll be interested to see how they do as well.
Are you gonna get his deleting tool?
No, I feel so afraid of doing that.
With like even those tools, I would have no problem with it.
Oh man,
those tools are so solid.
Yeah, but it's just like this, like, you know,
$1,000
processor.
I've done the hammer thing, you know. Like,
ugh. Dude, like when you have like a really, you know,
yeah,
you know, especially when it comes to like these samplings too, you can't be like, oh, Intel, I deleted this and I bricked my processor. Can you send me another $1,000 processor, please? Like,
well, I mean,
you know.
So long as you post about it and you get some press for them.
Yeah, I would just be so scared to do that.
Oh, but the potential.
Very true. Very, very true. So we'll move on to that, two motherboards, and one of the first Z370 motherboards has been leaked, and this thing looks like a boss. This is MSI's Z370 Godlike gaming board. This is of course part of their gaming series, and this is gonna be their like specced out, like totally awesome, you know,
yeah,
well, Z, yeah.
Yeah. Top end board, right?
Yeah, top end board. Tons of RGB LEDs. One thing I see is there's three M.2s on the board, and it comes with an expansion card to add two more M.2s, which is a lot. Which makes us believe of the extra bandwidth, that the extra lanes that the and a very hefty power delivery. I believe this is an 18 phase power design on this guy. Reinforced memory as well as PCI Express slots. Looks like there's like tuning on the board somehow up towards the top there.
I actually like the shroud that they have.
The shroud's really cool. It has RGBs within it.
What are they going to make a shroud for next?
Yeah, this is this will be 802.11 AC Wi-Fi plus Bluetooth. Really
is it
awesome.
The angle of the board, or is this EATX?
It looks big.
It looks long.
It might be like, so a lot of the Z270s and even X299s that came out, they're like in between ATX and EATX. So like they'll fit in an EATX, or they'll fit in an ATX, most ATX chassis.
Yeah.
But they'll extend slightly. Yeah, right. Because if you look towards the bottom, if you look towards the bottom, see the hole there? So it's going to extend slightly.
Not like an EATX board, though.
Yeah, for sure. You got a front panel USB 3.1 as well, which we haven't seen a lot of cases actually even have that connector, but... looks like a lot of awesome stuff on this board. Really high-end audio solution too, so I think MSI is really stepping up their audio game. I know Gigabyte is like one of the best ones that does it, onboard audio solution. So this is going to be an inexpensive board. I'm guessing 400.
Probably 450.
Yeah, for this board, given everything that it has, but we'll see. These might be competitive, but you know,
smart
really...
for MSI to be the first ones to get their photo out. Usually the first guy, I mean, because everything else will kind of follow suit, so it's really the first one that stands out in your mind that you see that like this, you know?
Yeah, oh yeah. So, really cool looking board. And then another board that was leaked that is not a Z, all these things, they're like, this is getting too confusing. Z270, this is X399.
You're going to have to, like, clone yourself, man, with all the boards and processors coming out.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, it's so much that you forget. Like, how many cores does this have? Does this have hyper-threading? Wait, what chipset is this? Is this Intel or AMD? Like, it's so confusing. So this board is Gigabyte's X399 Design Air EX. And this is basic. You know what's sad about this? Is that if you, like, Google the Z270 Design Air, like, Google that board and look at the picture. So I'll do it too. And you just look at, like, you just go to, you know, Google Images and look at it. Like, that board has a silver PCB. It looks really cool. It's custom design. Even the back, if there's a picture of the back and it says Design Air on it.
Yeah.
This board, while it looks really cool, is basically a Aorus X399 Gaming 7 with silver
accents.
Silver accents. That's basically what they did. It was really sad because when that Design Air board came out, like, it was really, really cool.
Yeah, man, it's a different level.
Yeah, it's,
I was
like
impressed with this board until I looked at the photo of the
PC. Yeah. Because I remember when this board came out and I was like, wait, why is the PCB black on this thing? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Even though, like, a lot of the PCB is covered by things, like, would add so much better. And it's, like I said, we do see this, especially, like, ASRock is one that does it as well. They use the exact same PCB design for multiple boards.
Mm-hmm.
This
probably saves money.
Yeah, so this, while it is cool, and it looks really cool, it's the same board almost, and that's kind of sad.
And they actually, like... lowered the your LED count on that thing from the Z270, or at least from this photo. Like,
yeah, at least from this photo. I don't know where all the LEDs will be on this, but yeah, like, that's like I said, if you compare those two, like, the Z270 board looks so much better.
One of these I would buy, one of these I would not.
Yeah, so that's the kind of sad thing about it, but still cool to see a X399 isn't highly as adopted as X299, you know, Threadripper parts. So it's cool. And from what I've heard, this will have a slight premium over the Aorus board. You know, but it's pretty much the same board.
Interesting that it's a Gigabyte branded board though, too. Still going with that.
Yeah, for these custom things, because this is not a gaming specific board. Right. Yeah, so that's they have to kind of put it somewhere.
Aorus is supposed to be ROG, right?
Yeah, Aorus is all gaming related. So got it. Yeah. So yeah, very cool, but sad that they didn't do it the way we wanted them to do it.
Just sad that they didn't do what they could do.
Yes. Yes. Very true. So, one other thing, actually two things that were announced this week. One that I think is super awesome, and it's very well done because not a lot of people do it this way. Be Quiet announced their Dark Base Pro 900 White Edition. This is limited edition. I actually have the Dark Base Pro 900 here, which will be upcoming review. Awesome, massive, big case. If you're doing a big build, lots of water cooling, this is the case for you. It's huge. Yeah. And if you want to make it quiet, of course, the name Be Quiet. Yeah. Very quiet case as well. This is going to be all white for the most part. Almost all of this is all white. Even the internals, as far as like the trays and everything, it's all done white. White motherboard tray. Yeah. Like everything in this is white. And I like it that they made it specifically limited edition. 2,000 of these will be made, and that's it.
Nice.
You know, so very, very nice looking case.
Great looking case. I think it looks much better than the other version.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I think white's just different. You don't see it a lot. Yeah. And it really may, especially if you add any lighting to the case, the white will look much better than the black.
Yep, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so very, very cool. And then the last thing for the week is that, I don't even know how you say this name, this company.
Hawaii?
No, that's not it. That's not how you say it. Shoot, I don't remember.
We'll just say Hawaii because that.
That's how as an American you want to pronounce it. It's not at all though. I'm pretty sure it's.
Well, anyways,
I don't remember. Yeah,
they're the largest Chinese smartphone manufacturer, and they just reached a gigantic milestone. Overtaking Apple as the second largest smartphone company in the world.
It's a pretty cool spot for them.
Yeah, which they'll probably lose next week.
Yeah.
Or this upcoming week, because the event is on the 12th.
Some phones coming out.
Yeah. But that's really, really great. And that's without any they don't have any deal with any US carrier.
Right.
I think I've seen a couple of their phones in person at CES just briefly. Yeah. Obviously, I'm an iPhone guy, so I really don't look at a lot of phones when I'm at certain events and things like that.
They've come a long ways from what I understand. They were junk not even that many years ago, and they've really turned around and started to make pretty decent phones, and so they're getting picked up. A lot of people are willing to buy them.
Well, it's great for them. Obviously, this graph will dramatically change next week. But it's cool for them to they're making progress, and it's always great to see. I think when the original iPhone launched, it set the bar, and then Samsung caught up with Apple, and now Apple. I don't know what they're going to launch on, but they're at least hopefully
it's the same thing you have with a new number on it.
I know, right? but hopefully this generation they'll be doing something that has them catch up to Samsung.
Maybe they'll put a headphone jack in it.
Put it back. Yeah, that was the worst decision ever. that's why I still have a 6S, man.
Yeah.
Can't go to the 7.
Yeah.
It's really cool for this company. I'm sure it's a pretty big deal for them. And they have been talking with AT&T to get one of their phones as part of deal. Yeah, so
carrier.
Yeah, so that would be pretty good for them as well.
Yeah.
So yeah. So coming up next week, we have some cool stuff. First, we have the Drevo Caliber. I don't know if I'd call it a gaming keyboard. I have it listed in our notes as gaming keyboard. But this is it's sitting in front of me, and I absolutely love this keyboard.
It's like an enthusiast keyboard.
Yeah, it is a very enthusiast, purist type. It's a 71-key keyboard, so basically it's a 10-keyless keyboard without the function row. That's basically what it is. Super small. It is fully mechanical, fully RGB backlit.
What kind of key switches?
They're a Chinese knockoff of Cherry MX blues. But you can get it in, black, blue, brown, and red. But here's the kicker, is that the key caps are PBT key caps. And if you've never typed on PBT key caps, you would have no clue what I'm talking about. But they make all the difference. I'm going to ship you a set of them because until I reviewed the Cooler Master PBTs, which I reviewed maybe a month ago, which have the PBT keycaps, it's such a difference. The typing difference. So basically what I'm trying to say is that Drevo can get away with the Cherry MX knockoffs because of the fact they have these awesome keycaps, which make the typing experience so much better.
Okay.
How is it, I guess, to
back up a step. How is the actuation? How is the feel of the switch? Is it the same?
The switch feels good. The switch feels good. It's a good switch. I feel if Cherry MXs were on this, the Cherry MX Blues were on this, it would feel even better. But again, the keycaps make up for the
lack of a better switch.
Yeah. It's a really cool keyboard. I don't want to go into too much because we'll talk about it next week on the podcast after the review comes out. But I do have to say, one of my favorite keyboards of this year. And that's from like a company that's completely unknown.
Right.
I mean, for most people. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And like I said, it has... The keycaps make all the difference. And that's crazy, but it's true. It was even true with the Cooler Master ones, you know. It just, this combination is really, it's a really well done keyboard. So yeah.
Cool.
And like I said, I review a lot of keyboards and this thing is just, yeah.
Right up there.
Yeah. So it makes me like wish my other favorite keyboards had these keycaps, and like it makes me even want to buy keycap sets just for that fact.
Just to switch your boards out. See, that's interesting because that's sort of a game changing review thing. When you come across something in a product line, you know, like we do, there's categories of things, right? And so we become used to what you expect. And then something will come along like that becomes like a must have, and it sets the bar for like the way you review everything else. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I don't want to switch this back out because I have like three other keyboards to review, so I really don't want to switch this out, but I'm gonna have to. But there's so many other great features of this keyboard, which we'll talk about next week. But it's awesome. Cool. Yeah, the review's coming out tomorrow on Monday, so you guys can read it as well.
Check it out.
Yes, and I have a really cool thing that it's such a simple device, but it's just something that you need sometimes. It is the Unitex 10-port USB charging stations. This is like a kind of like just a USB charging station. It has 10 USB ports. It has dividers in it too, so you can kind of stack all of your devices. So it just keeps everything clean. You and I both have those like 8-port chargers.
Yep.
And when you have a bunch of devices connected, it's just a mess. This,
even when you don't have devices connected, it's kind of a mess. Boards hang off of it.
Yeah, so this cleans up that, and it also has two quick charge ports. So if you do have a Samsung phone supports quick charge 3.0 or even previous versions of quick charge, you'll be able to charge your devices faster. This thing's really cool, and it's just I'm doing a whole series on upgrading the home office, and this is part of it as well. So yeah, it's just something that if you're charging more than four devices, this is something that you should get.
Does it have the hardware that allows it to enable the maximum charging speed supported?
Yes. So you get
the fastest charge.
Yeah. So this is 96 watt total. So if you have 8 devices connected, they'll all charge at 2.4 amps.
Oh, cool.
And then if you have more, if you have the total 10, it will intelligently decide which one gets more, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like which one gets which, but at 8 devices connected, you get full 2.4, The actual power adapter is like a power brick for a laptop.
Nice.
You know, so you it's like a true power supply.
Yeah.
That you're getting. So it's not like one of those things that just, you know, maybe only one out of the three or four ports gets the full thing or whatever. Yeah. So
it only does full speed when you have one device
connected. Yeah. So that's what's great about this as well. So yeah, pretty cool little device. And then finally, taking a look at a case from a company we've never reviewed a case from, is Ragentech. Is that, I believe that's how you say it?
Ragentech.
And it is their thesis. I'm really bad with product names today.
Thetis?
I don't know. I'll have to look this up. But anyways, yeah. This case is a really cool, it's all aluminum case, and this is the newer version. They call it the window version that has a tempered glass side panel on it. And this is a really interesting case because it's flipped.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're looking at the case, that is from the tip of your typical normal side panel is the back of the case. So basically, your motherboard's flipped inside. So it's basically upside down. So it's pretty cool.
Nice.
All aluminum, nice kind of high end case. So Ragentech makes a lot of really cool, interesting cases, and this is one of them.
It looks so familiar. And clean at the same time.
Yeah, it's just a really clean design. Super simple.
Nice.
I'm looking forward
to that one.
Yeah, so I'll let you know how this one goes, and we'll have all that this upcoming week. So
nice.
three reviews upcoming this week, and some more videos as well. I'm working on some really cool stuff with videos, so expect all of that. And then we talk about what we did this week. Anything fun?
Yeah, you want to start? What'd you do, Bob?
So I talked about on the podcast. I said on Monday I was going on a boat trip, which I did.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Which I posted a video. It's on my Facebook. I posted it on Twitter as well. Did you watch my video?
I didn't watch your video.
Oh, man.
Sorry, it was good. Give you that view.
No, that's all right. I think it came out really well. And it was good. Kind of like, you know, when the summer's ending, and we've been talking about it. Mm-hmm. And just to get out on the water with the boat was completely full, and it's a big boat. I think there was 16 of us or something like that there. So. You know, just a good day to be out with friends all day. We went to a lake in West Virginia. It's about like an hour and a half drive, and just a good time with friends. And
nice.
But getting out of I've been in the office so much. I've been working like crazy to get all this stuff for these upcoming articles that I'm doing. It's just good to get out and just kind of relax, and you know.
And it's over, so you kind of got to do that.
Yeah. It was like, you know, it's basically the last time to get out on the water. So
yeah.
Got to do it. So yeah, cool. That's pretty much all I did. The rest of the week was working on stuff. I'm waiting on one more thing to start the RGB build, and guess what it is? Just take a guess.
I want to say case.
No, I have a case. I've had the case. It's the RGB strips.
Oh no.
Yeah, because I have to take a picture of all the products out like for the thing, and I'm like, I just need RGB strips.
And that's like so, one of the first things you got to install too.
Yeah, because I'm going to install them before I install it, yeah.
Yeah.
So the case that I'm using is the N1805i has RGB strips inside. And what I was thinking is, if they don't come in, what I plan to do with these RGB, these are the NZXT ones.
Mm, yeah.
I plan to install them on the bottom of the case so you have that cool underglow,
mm-hmm.
which would be like a full spectrum RGB underglow. That was like my whole plan. And the inside RGBs seem like they would be enough.
Yeah.
So I might start to build without it. If they don't come this week, because I gotta get this thing done.
Yeah.
I want a new PC really bad.
I would suspect they're the Hues, I believe, right?
Yes.
I would suspect the Hues are a better strip than what's in the case.
But, yes, they are.
You know, yeah.
But the thing that the reason I think I want to use the strips that are in the case is that the front, you know, the front panel has the infinity mirror on it.
Yeah.
Both of the strips, you plug them both into like a controller, and then the fronts in those are the same.
Yeah.
Okay. And I kind of want to keep that flow. So if you're looking at the case from like kind of like the kind of like angled, you know, at the front,
uh-huh.
you have the same thing going on, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and difficult to replace the strip out of that Infinity Mirror.
Yeah, I'm not going to break this case. I just know I'll break it, so it's just not happening.
One step at a time, we'll get a Dremel in Bob's hand sooner or later.
Yeah, yeah. So, but everything else has come together for this build. I'm super excited to get started. We also are doing another series of redoing, like I said, the home office and the desk. We're doing a whole desk redo with RGB LEDs as well. All stuff. We have all new gear from Corsair for the desk. Like, it's going to be awesome.
Nice.
So both articles on the site as well as videos for all this stuff. It's like, it's just finally all coming together. It's just taking a while for everything to come in and get started. So yeah, super excited for all that.
Sweet, man. Yeah, I mean, we have been anxiously anticipating.
Yeah. So, what did you do this week?
I've cyclocross racing is finally here. So I raced my bike yesterday.
You got fifth place.
I got fifth in the highest category you can race. Finally, that's up good. There. Yeah. So I'm pretty happy with fifth. I was just happy to get out there and do it too. It's just been waiting all year for this time.
Nice.
So I got my new bike ready to go. Raced it. It was good. This is a good time. Yeah.
Nice.
Didn't geek out. Oh, I did actually. I take that back. I binge watched all of season 5 of Game of Thrones.
Nice.
Or no, not 5. What's is it 6?
I wouldn't know. I don't watch it.
The latest season.
Yeah.
Whichever it is. Yeah. And it was fantastic.
Nice.
So
I'm trying to think if I watched anything. I did watch. What was that movie? The Dark Tower.
Which one is that one?
Basically the kids has these dreams about these guys that are called gunslingers. It's like sci-fi kind of. It's like a sci-fi
okay.
movie sort of.
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey's in it.
Okay.
It was all right. It wasn't like this amazing sci-fi thing, but it was cool sort of. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't think we get a lot of really good sci-fi movies.
Dude, sci-fi has, I mean, with a few exceptions that I can't even think of, I'm sure there's been something, but sci-fi has been kind of weak recently.
Yeah. I'm still reading Ready Player One.
Are you?
It's on my Kindle, so.
Good. How far are you? About page 4.
Fifth chapter, maybe?
Okay.
I haven't read it all this week, because I've just been so, like, I've been working, and then I just, like, pass out. But I think I'm actually going to read a couple chapters tonight before I go to bed.
Please do.
But yeah, it's good. I like it.
So far, so good.
And it's, so I haven't, most of the books I read, sadly, are like business books or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I like this because it takes me, sounds like I'm a kid, but it takes you into another world. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, as you're reading, you visualize, it's a story, it's a story.
I do have to say, it sounds like you're reading your first book.
Yeah. Well, because again, I haven't read.
Yeah,
I haven't read a book like this in a long time. Like I said, most of the things I read are like
reality-based.
Yeah, reality based. You know, about business or like that type of thing. So this is really cool for me. So again, thank you for the recommendation.
Hmm.
And and it is the first book I bought on my Kindle in a long time. Because most of the books I would go to the store and buy, because I kind of like that. I kind of like this, like the hardback type thing. But it's just like I have two shelves of books here, and it's just so much space. So I was just like, we're gonna Kindle this one.
Nice.
And I have to say, Kindle that I got at CES 2009 or something, the original Kindle Fire HD. I don't even know when it came out. Still works perfectly. Great piece of hardware.
Yeah.
For Kindle use. Great piece of hardware.
Yeah, of
course. So, guys, we'll end it here. Derek and I are kind of rambling on. But, like I said, we'll end it here. Again, I always say we have our full show notes that has everything that we talk about, all of the links to all the reviews and news and all that kind of stuff. And on all of your favorite podcasting software, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.